This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So let me tell you, this week on the Paracast, we had hoped to have Albert Rosales talking about humanoids and all his years of investigation. Unfortunately, at the last minute, he tells us he has a family emergency, and of course, families come first. So we hope he'll be here in December. Meantime, Chris O'Brien is here, back from Thailand. We're also joined by Paul Kimball, who has been a very good friend over the years. In fact, we've begun to post content from the Other Side of Truth podcasts and some videos over at the Paracast Plus, in case you haven't joined. So we'll talk about that later. Meantime, Paul, welcome back to the Paracast.
Yeah, welcome back, Paul. Thanks for the last-minute addition to our show here.
No worries. It was either this or go see Shakespeare on the screen, silver screen tonight, so I went with this.
We can now say we're more important than Shakespeare.
You can say that. I'm not sure it's true, but you can say that. I guess for tonight, you're more important than Shakespeare. And no, Chris, I haven't seen The Arrival yet. I don't actually go to see a lot of films in theaters anymore. The Shakespeare series is part of a screening series my producing partner puts on at a local art gallery in a university here. But I generally try and stay out of the theaters as much as possible. I just don't enjoy the experience anymore.
You don't like the crowds and the popcorn?
Yeah, and it's a terrible comment for somebody in my business to make, but the truth is you can eventually see any film you want at home, sitting in the comfort, so you can pause it, go use the washroom, get food, go take a drive, whatever. Yeah, the older I get, the less I like, not people, just crowds. So I always wind up with somebody sitting behind me kicking my seat, or somebody looking at their cell phone or whatever, three rows in front of me or whatever. So, you know, I'll probably go see The Arrival in the theater because it's one of those big budget films you should see in a theater. I'll probably do it when I figure it's the last week of its run. You know, Doctor Strange, same thing, because I'm a superhero fan. And when the new Star Wars movie comes out, I'll wait until it's well into its run, so at least the crowds are down a bit.
Go see him. You know, the early show, the matinee, when you have probably less people.
Yeah, I would do that too, except I always find it really weird to walk into a film when it's light and come out when it's light. It doesn't freak me out. It's just a very odd experience. My mind has trouble going from light to dark to light again. So I'm just a very strange person when it comes to going to. I'm very particular. I'm very persnickety, as they say, when it comes to seeing films. I didn't used to be this way, but I don't know. I find people are less civil. Even here in Canada, you know, we're supposed to be civil. I just find people are less civil now in public, and the less time I spend in public, usually the better.
This is in advance of being a hermit.
Pretty much. I'll be Ted Kaczynski without the bombs.
What was the name of the guy who wrote that song, Everybody's Talking, that Nilsson sang? And he was a hermit. He'd come out every few years with more songs.
Not sure, but I appreciate, the older I get, the more I appreciate. I don't know about hermits. I just appreciate the idea of living in a nice little hobby farm somewhere about 30 minutes from the city, where I don't have people yelling crack whore outside my house at 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, which really happened this past week, and I had to call the police, and as did many of my neighbors. And then last night there was a murder 5 blocks from my house. Somebody got shot sitting in a car. So, you know, things that generally speaking don't happen if you have a nice little hobby farm and a very big German shepherd.
So much for kind and genteel Canada.
Well, Halifax is a port city, so I think there is something of a bit of a drug war going on here now. So the murder was on my sort of nightly walking route, and I was not walking because I generally don't do that anymore because you don't want to be caught in a crossfire or have something strange happen. I almost got run over the other night. Literally, if I had been 5 seconds ahead of where I was, I would have been run over in a crosswalk by a stolen car that plowed into the side of a bus. And so I was a witness to a crime, but I would have been a victim of a crime, and I was 5 seconds away from that. So, you know, you sort of go, these things just don't happen on a country lane. The worst possible thing that could happen is I get eaten by a coyote or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I moved to Camp Verde here. You know, I came down the hill from Sedona, and gosh, it was a lover's quarrel, two teenagers. She shot him, killed him, and then killed herself. And then some Indian from the res that's right, you know, just up the hill from me, was in a card game and got in a hassle with one of his card game partners and knifed him to death, and then ended up trying to burn his torso in a burn barrel 2 houses away. Bizarre.
People have spent far too much time watching shows like Breaking Bad, which I actually enjoyed. But, you know, I don't know what it is, but there's a coarsening of our society around us. And yeah. As soon as I say that, I start to sound like some Eisenhower Republican from the 50s who would go, I don't like what these kids are listening to, you know, this hippie stuff.
It's Grand Theft Auto and just this terrible, violent video games as well. They're, I mean, desensitized. And, of course, they live at the age of the Bush Wars and... You know, I've just been watching Oliver Stone's Secret History or The Unspoken History of the United States, and it just brings back some real horrific stuff that, you know, you kind of try to inure yourself to the facts of, you know, how this country especially gets involved in imperialism and stuff overseas. And the stuff that does kind of, you know, flow down the river, and the vast majority of people aren't aware of you know, what really goes on behind the scenes. And I think we're seeing blowback culturally from, you know, we're being desensitized to people suffering, to we're losing compassion, empathy, things that Americans, you know, from generations were known for. And unfortunately, it's starting to spread up there, too.
Yeah, or maybe it started here and it, no, that's not true. It didn't start here. It's great. We're just a kinder, gentler people, I think. Yeah. But you know what? Maybe not. There was an article out today from Alberta where a member of the legislative assembly there, which is kind of like our state government, so right. He like a state representative, stood up a woman who had been running for the leader of one party, left that race because of the harassment she was getting, joined the governing party, which is a left of center party. And the premier is a woman, too. So you have a new MLA and the premier, both women. And she read out in the House the list of things that she had received via email after she left her old party, which was a conservative party, and joined the new Democratic Party. And it's appalling. And usually the Speaker of the House would stop, you know, say, you can't read that language here. But they let her go because they thought it was important to get it on the record. And I thought, dear God, these people hiding behind anonymous internet handles who are saying these kinds of things and harassing people online. This has to stop. But, I don't actually know how you make it stop. So,
yeah. We can always turn off the Twitter and we can turn off the Facebook. That's another way of stopping it. But this also goes back to the early days of Usenet, the internet news group. Most of them were unmoderated, and you can say any darn thing you want.
Yeah.
That was it. I remember in those days I actually worked for AOL as a paid forum leader. I made a really great salary. Would that happen today? But in any case, I remember writing books about AOL and then going into these Usenet areas, and then somebody starts screaming and yelling at me, writing all sorts of things. And I would respond with facts and figures and just try to have an argument with them in a civil fashion. And he said, no, that's not the way it works. I flame you, you flame me. Now, everybody does
even
it now.
Back then, they were getting the whole routine dialed in, huh?
That's where it started. You see what happened as the internet spread to everyone? We all misbehave now.
Speak for yourself. I really do attempt to, when at all possible, and that's 99% of the time to take the high road. But, you know, I'll just pretty much ignore, you know, the blatant sort of trolls and, you know, people that are just looking to pick fights or, you know, and I don't unfriend people because, you know, they have different political beliefs that I do or different cultural sort of leanings. You know, I find that the internet, unfortunately, does kind of create an echo chamber, and it does tend to, I think people tend to sort of unfriend people or ignore people that may not agree with them. So, you know, you have this giant sort of echo chamber going on. And to me, it's for something that's so inclusive and it's so pervasive now in our culture, you would think it would be bringing people together. But what it's actually doing, it's pushing people apart.
We'll talk about more of this and actually about the paranormal. We've got Paul Kimball and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The award-winning graphic converter, the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. Get 20% off from lemkesoft.de/gene. That's lemkesoft.de/gene. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
All right, guys, we're ready for our Four Seasons sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room.
Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Paul Kimball is here, and I should mention once again that he's nice enough to give us some of his Other Side of Truth content, audio and video, and I believe he's taped a new episode of Other Side of Truth that'll be up at the Paracast Plus real soon now. And if you want to hear that and also the After the Paracast podcast, the commercial-free version of this show, all that good stuff, you have to join the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, P-L-U-S, .theparacast.com. We start at $4.99 a month, our price cheap. We're talking here about the fact that people just don't get along anymore online. And the other thing that goes with that, and this can begin to relate to our paranormal universe just because of getting accurate information, is this fake news phenomenon where people just make up things and they get them online and then somebody sees it and somebody retweets it or spreads it on Facebook and soon everybody's talking about it. They're talking about it on TV news. Politicians are talking about it. And it's just a complete lie. It goes back to the early days you'd read in the supermarket tabloids that somebody is married to an alien. And nobody took it seriously. But now, you know, where does the fantasy begin in reality? What's your take on this, Paul?
Well, yeah, it's all sort of a fantasy. I mean, look, I don't want to get particularly political, so I'll split both the left and right here. You know, you've just elected a president of the United States that is the least qualified person to hold that job, or will be when he gets in, I think, in American history. And as an historian, I think I have a better grasp of history than most of the people that voted for Mr. Trump. But you know what? He's an empty suit. So the same is true in Canada, though. We elected a Liberal prime minister, well, a Liberal government, of which the leader becomes prime minister, Justin Trudeau, who is a drama teacher, and his sole qualification for being prime minister is he's the son of Pierre Trudeau, who was a long-serving Canadian prime minister in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So he didn't have a record of accomplishment, really, certainly not in the private sector, but not in the public sector either. So you start to see these kinds of things happen where it almost becomes, and in ufology or in paranormal research, that was a Bill Clinton pivot there. You sort of see the same thing where people don't seem to respect experience and education and accomplishment as much as previous generations would. And I think to some degree, the internet's responsible for this. The internet's a good thing and a lot of good can come out of it. But there's this, I don't want to call it a dumbing down because I still think there are an awful lot of smart people, but it's almost like a leveling. You work in this world where everybody's opinion is equal, to which I would say, no, it's not. An informed opinion, an educated opinion is better, carries more weight than one that is not. So, for example, I can offer an opinion on space travel, and it's probably better and more educated than some opinions, but it is also not as educated and not as valid as the opinions that people that work at NASA, for instance, might have, because that's what they do for a living. And I respect that. So, you know, I'm not going to start talking about the science of interstellar travel, for instance. The same thing is true of, and this has bedeviled ufology in particular for decades. The same thing is true of interviewing people. And I've written about this back when I used to write about these things, and maybe I cared a bit more about it, but I kind of gave up. But I was a graduate student in history and trained in interviewing people through my legal training, but also my historical training. They teach courses at a grad level in something called oral research methodology, more or less how to interview. The Studs Terkel way of getting stories out of people. Ufology is, in particular, full of people that have none of that training. None of that understanding. They don't understand how to ask questions, what are the right questions to ask, maybe what are the wrong questions to ask, how to structure an interview. So a lot of the things that I think are problematic in ufology throughout the last, I don't know, 40 or 50 years, starting, say, Roswell, for instance. If you look at the interviews originally conducted by Uncle Stan, you know, I love Stan Friedman, but, you know, he had a great training in nuclear physics. He had no training in how to interview people. So I respect that he knows more about nuclear physics than I do. He should have respected back then that somebody like me would know more about how to interview people, how to do historical research, how to do that kind of field work in oral research. And he should have engaged one of those people. And I would say the same thing to Kevin Randall. I would say the same thing to any of those folks because none of them had that training. So, but everybody thinks that they're equal, right? And that's the mistake. Not everybody is equal. Different people have different talents. Different people have different skills. Different people have different training. So pick those people that have the training and the skills and the talent and that relate to what you're doing and engage them. and don't engage or don't listen to the people who don't have those things, but went ahead and did it anyway. So that to me has always been the biggest problem with UFO research. Now, if you want to talk about UFO theorizing, which is a totally different thing than, you know, five or six guys sitting down around a table who want to talk about whether they could be space aliens from Zeta Reticuli or God or whatever. Well, sure, that's all grist for the mill because that's opinion. So everybody can have an opinion. Some are more informed than others, but, fine. But if you want to talk about actual research, and this is something, there was a question thread, not a question thread, but a thread, what's the point, I think, that one of your listeners, Ufology, put on the Paracast forums. And, you know, there's this discussion about the academic nature. Is ufology an academic pursuit? And the answer is no, it's not. It never has been. There have been a few academics who have engaged in it, and there have been some self-taught people who have really taken it seriously and through experience and training and learning on the job have become very good at it. But the rules of academia, of academic study and research, have never applied to ufology. So if there's any academic nature to it, it's by chance and luck and not by some sort of rigorous methodology. And so that opens up a whole can of worms and messes and all that sort of stuff. I don't even know if that doesn't even answer your question, so sorry.
Well, you raised another issue. It's very important. I wanted to bring up Kevin Randall only because I think he's trying. So, for example, in recent years, he's gone back to looking at original references to try to research older cases. And quite often when you read a book about UFOs and someone cites a particular case, what they're doing quite often is not looking at the original source, but another book. And that book goes to another book. And in each case, the book will summarize something, maybe spin the tale a little bit. And sometimes the original story from the original newspaper or the original Project Blue Book report or the original eyewitness report somewhere is very different and has details that may or may not give you a solution to that particular case. But just copying what somebody writes in a book is not research.
Unintentional meme propagation.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a type of research. I mean, everything builds upon everything else, right? So if you're studying the Second World War, then guys like A.J.P. Taylor and Hugh Trevor Roper were foundational historical researchers that were there early on, and then you would build on what they and change it and revise it and see where they went wrong or maybe where they went right.
Paul, I have to break for a second, so let me just amplify that, and then you can talk about it more. Well, that, again, is if you're going to go back to a source and use a source, it's not any old book. You'd be very careful about whose book or article you look at and see if these are researchers who are really dedicated and knowledgeable about doing the job properly. We've got more to come. With Gene, Chris, and Paul Kimball, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Don't know what contaminants are lurking in your water? Time to get a ProPure. Take advantage of ProPure's holiday sale. Save 25% on all ProPure water filter products. Sales good through December 31st. There's a ProPure water filter for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Hi, my name is Stephen Holstein. In my 20s, I abused stimulants and anabolic steroids to the point where my adrenal glands were shot. I suffered from extreme fatigue and an inability to handle stress. For over 6 years, I have been taking adrenal supplements including herbs, glandulars, vitamin C, and vitamin B5. All these supplements did was treat the symptoms and produced only minimal results. Now, just after 1 month on Synergy One and ADR Medics, I truly feel rejuvenated. I have never felt such relaxation before from any adrenal supplement as I did just 10 minutes after taking ADR Medics. I then noticed Synergy 1 made me wake up rested and with much more energy. No more hungover, groggy feeling upon arising. I had almost considered going to another country for stem cell therapy as a last resort, but now I truly feel rejuvenated on Synergy 1 and ADR Medics.
Success happens with synergistic nutrition. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-519-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-519-BACK now to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-519-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, this is James Fox from Chasing UFOs. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Paul Kimball was mentioning as we got into it about the value of doing research properly and to use the right sources. And you mentioned, for example, if you're going to research World War II or the Civil War, you go back into recognized sources who did their research and use them and build your work upon their shoulders. Am I getting it
right here? Yes, exactly. So there's nothing wrong with quoting people and using their research to inform your own research and then maybe taking it in new and different directions. But there are good, for instance, historians, and there are bad historians. So Hugh Trevor Roper made mistakes. A.J.P. Taylor made mistakes. You know, everybody makes mistakes, but they were reputable historians. I remember when I was studying history in the 1980s, there still is, he's still alive, an historian, and I use that in quotation marks, called David Irving. You might be familiar with him. He's a Holocaust denier. Now, there was a time when David Irving, there's two things you can say about David Irving. No serious historian that I've ever heard of disputes that David Irving was a good researcher, that he could, you know, go find details and facts, and he was a tireless digger, and so he could get information, no question. But that doesn't make him a good historian. And so what happened with David Irving is his personal beliefs, his bigotry, frankly, and hatred, colored his conclusions. So as a Holocaust denier, you know, you could look at his work and say he's found some interesting details, but his conclusions are worthless. Whereas with other historians, you would say, well, okay, their conclusions make more sense because they seem to be approaching it as objectively as possible. So there's good historians, there's bad historians. And the same thing is true of UFO researchers, not that they're Holocaust deniers, but when you find somebody, although there are some who are Holocaust deniers, which is one of those things that people don't like to talk about within ufology, sort of the far right, anti-Semitic kind of undercurrent that has been in ufology for longer than we would care to admit. But there are some researchers that generally try and take an objective take on things. I've had my disputes with Kevin Randall over the years, but more often than not, I think at least Kevin is trying. He doesn't always get there because he has a blind spot when it comes to Roswell still, but he tries. So full credit to Kevin in terms of trying to be as objective as he can possibly be. And nobody's perfectly objective. We all have our blind spots. But then there are other guys. And, you know, we all know who they are. Some of them have been on your show over the years. I don't particularly like talking about any of them anymore, but, you know, Stephen Bassett is the perfect example, and Stephen Greer and that group, where they are not objective. So if you start quoting, for instance, I saw Paul Hellyer speak here in Halifax about 2 months ago, I guess, maybe a month or two ago. And he was talking about politics. He was talking about the Canadian-European free trade deal, which is very odd because within 10 minutes, UFOs came up. So
we're basically engaging in free trade of UFOs.
Something like that.
Okay.
But he was trying to make a point about, you know, the sort of Freemason, I don't know what it is, the Freemasonry, lizard people, queen, whatever their global conspiracy is, that is somehow driving all of these trade deals. I guess that was his point. Somehow Area 51 came in or whatever. But he name dropped Stephen Greer. So there I am sitting in the audience. And to be fair, I didn't have to pay to get in. Nobody did. But you could see some people nodding their heads, right? There were about 60 people there. And actually, you can see a lot of people nodding their heads. Well, they are an audience that is already predisposed, I guess, to believe Paul Hellyer. So all he's probably really doing is reinforcing their existing beliefs. But somewhere those existing beliefs came in. Somewhere they decided that Paul Hellyer, who is relying on people like Stephen Greer for his information, is a credible source of information about UFOs and about trade deals and politics and everything, money policy. And as soon as somebody says to me, Stephen Greer, I go, I can't take you seriously, no matter what you're talking about. You could be talking about Star Wars, and I can't take you seriously as a film critic because you quote Stephen Greer as a credible source of information. So that's just one of those things that drove me nuts about ufology, because I came from an academic background, and as much as possible, when I made my films, I tried to take an objective stance and present both sides of the story, which is why nobody I ever interviewed, from either, say, skeptic or believer, ever really criticized my films, or at least the way they were treated in the film. So I could put Carl Flock on one side, and I could put Stan Friedman or Kevin Randall on the other side, and I did in more than one film, and all of them would say we were treated fairly. You gave us an opportunity to put our views out there, and then I would say to people, hey, make up your own mind. And occasionally I might say, here's what I think, but, you know, my opinion is probably no more valid than yours if you watch this film, because we're all coming from the same place. And that's always what I tried to do, but it frustrated me when I got involved in ufology to find out that there were very few people that took that sort of approach on either side, frankly. I've been very critical of the believers, but it's also very true of the disbelievers. And somewhere in the middle, there's a smaller group of skeptical thinkers who keep an open mind. And those are the ones over the years I've gravitated to. Greg Bishop, Mac Tonies, Nick Redfer, and Aaron Gullius, who's an historian, teaches up in Michigan. You know, these are the kind of people that I've gravitated to, but it's a small group, and it's getting smaller.
My big problem with the way UFO research is today is that either people treat it as entertainment, which I guess it can be, or they're so accepting of everything, they've got the blinders on, that it gets difficult. And I don't want to attack the guy, but our guest last week, Jan Hartzand, is a really, really nice guy. He's a real gentleman. And I think he's working hard to make MUFON more friendly to an online audience. They've got an ebook version of their journal after all these years of having it look like it came out of the Rotary Club or something. Really looks nice, and I guess he's trying to make a solid effort to attract younger people. But he doesn't discriminate enough against people with pretty wacky theories. You see this in the MUFON symposiums, and you see this in the content online. And the problem with that is, with all the good intentions, if you allow that stuff to get in without criticism, in the end, it just hurts their efforts. They're not going anywhere.
Well, it legitimizes it. And a lot of the information that's on the internet, for instance, because it is not vetted properly, as Paul described. I mean, the internet is really a sad example, really, to use, but a vast majority of what you see on the internet is absolute bunk. Every time I see a post, and they've just been coming fast and furious from the Bassett crowd, that Obama is going to be the disclosure president, that he's going to open up the box of secrets before he leaves office. And every time I see that, I put in there, I have $100 on PayPal, and I'd be willing to bet anybody out there $100 that this will not happen. Guess how many takers I've gotten?
We're going to play the sound of the crickets, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, crickets would be good. Look, you know, it's true. I actually saw online the following exchange, and I'm going to summarize it. But prior to the election, everybody was going, look, if Hillary Clinton gets elected, and Bassett was pushing this on some radio shows he was on, she's the disclosure president because of the Lawrence Rockefeller thing and the Clintons and all that. You know, Bill couldn't do it, but Hillary would. Okay, good luck, Steve. But I think he was on Tim Banal's show, too, and he was like, this is going to happen. Trump can't possibly win the election. Hillary's going to win, and then boom, it's, you know, it's disclosure. So, okay, Trump wins the election, or as I like to call him, Dr. Zayas. And not as smart as Dr. Zayas, but he looks a lot like him. And so Trump wins, and you think, well, okay, this must, the disclosure people must be, for many reasons probably, but certainly for the disclosure reason, must be thinking this is the apocalypse, right? We'll never hear it, because Clinton was our disclosure person. Nope. They immediately pivot, and they say, you know what? Trump's our disclosure person. Why? Because he's a change agent. Because he's outside the system. He's going to drain the swamp and, you know, all that stupid stuff that he says. But he's not bound by the elites or anything, which is laughable, but, you know, he's the disclosure president. And I'm thinking, you know what? You could have elected Dr. Zayas. Like, you really could have elected Dr. Zayas, the mythical, fictional character, and they would have said he's the disclosure president. They could elect me, and I'd be the disclosure president. It wouldn't matter. These people will always find a reason to believe, and in some cases, and I think this is true of the people who propagate this stuff, to push it forward so that they can continue to make money off it. It's almost like, you know, Hitler's view on war, or the Nazi view on war, Goering in particular. You know, perpetual war is a good thing because it keeps people ginned up and nationalistic and everything. You always have an enemy to fight.
You also keep the military contractors well fed because they're building all that great military hardware. But I'm also thinking of the boy who cried wolf, and let's go into that in our next segment as we continue this discussion. We've got Paul Kimball with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if there were no contracts, no activation fees, no tracking, tracing, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE networks. Introducing PixWireless.com. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, and unlock GSM phones instantly. Bring your own device and make the switch today. Here's how. Call or click 1-800-205-9513 or PixWireless.com. Spell P-I-X. PixWireless.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at FullyCookedBacon.com. FullyCookedBacon.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So let's continue with that. What about Paul Kimball, the boy who cried wolf phenomenon? How many years can Stephen Bassett say, this is the disclosure president, it's going to happen this year, it's going to happen this year, it's going to happen this year, before people say, you've been saying that already for 20 years, give it up, man?
Well, the people who would say that were people like me that would have said that at the very beginning, so we don't matter to him. Again, this isn't meant to be critical of President-elect Trump, but I'm just going to use him as an example. Everybody, and I was one of them, who considers themselves, you know, I have degrees in history and political science, I'm informed on American politics, I've studied it, and I was convinced, as the pollsters were, as everybody was, that Trump was going to lose, and that he was probably going to get hammered, but he was definitely going to lose. Oh, P.S., he did lose the popular vote, but let's not get into that, because you folks don't live in a real democracy, and neither do we here in Canada, because we have a first-past-the-post system where people can get elected to Parliament with, you know, 38% of the vote in any riding. So we all live in this mythical world where we actually think everyone's vote counts equally. But he told so many obvious, flat-out lies and contradictions and stuff. And we just said, people can't possibly keep swallowing this. So, you know, he would lie about one thing. He'd go, this is the Rubicon line. This is it. This is his red line. Nope, apparently that didn't work. Well, then this is his red line. Oh, no. And I remember when the thing came out with the Billy Bush and coming off the bus and the horrible things that he said in that clip, everybody said, that's it. He can't possibly survive this. And he did, because the people that were going to vote for him didn't care, or they wanted to believe so badly in the overall narrative that he was selling, which was change of a certain sort, that they were willing to overlook all of these other things that should have been giant red flags that would have said, oh my God, we can't possibly vote for Dr. Zayas. The same thing is true in ufology. So Stephen Bassett, I don't even know if his mind works this way, but I'm a business person, so it would work this way for me. Bassett would look and he would say, you know what? I can say almost anything, because the people who would be offended by it or would roll their eyes, they're not supporting me anyway. But the people who are supporting me, the more I give them, the more they buy into it. So I'm just going to get more and more outrageous. Greer has done the same thing. He's gone from being, when I first saw him speak in 2001, I sort of thought he was a little out there, which is an understatement, but he was very nice to me. In fact, I just sent, folks will be able to see this on the Paracast Plus. I turned it into a film all these years later, the interview that I did with Greer back then. And he sounds more or less sane and rational and sensible, even though every now and then he'll say something a little weird. So 15 years later, Stephen Greer is looking at dead alien babies, and he did that film where he has the guys with the guns, and he goes, I have the dead man's trigger, you know, or whatever it was. That was his progression. And so you would think that nobody would ever listen to Stephen Greer again because he just went nuts. No, he doubled down on what his audience wanted to hear. He figured out what his audience was, like most good con men, and he said, I don't care about anybody else. I'm going to give them what they want. and that will just make me more popular. It's a tried and true tactic of con men, whether it's in politics, which is what you folks have now, or whether it's in business or whether wherever it is. And so that's right. What these guys have done, and they've been very successful at doing it.
Yeah, and there's a number of them, and they're huge. They're hugely popular. David Wilcock, you've already mentioned Greer and Bassett, but another one, David Icke. It's just amazing to me that he fills standing room only crowds and 1,500 to 2,000 seat theaters, and then keeps them in there all day for 8 hours. The first 4 hours, he talks about how it's really important to create your own reality correctly. And then the second 4 hours, when they come back for lunch, he just totally freaks everybody out with all this, the Queen Mother used to eat babies, and now Queen Elizabeth is a reptoid and all this stuff. And there's just a little bit of cognitive dissonance going on. It's amazing to me that people are so gullible, or they suspend their disbelief to even the slightest bit of degree when they buy into this stuff. It's just, I don't know, it just never ceases to amaze me.
Icke is a very interesting cat. I'm glad you mentioned him, because I actually like David Icke. And folks are probably going to go, what? Paul Kimmel likes David Icke? No, I don't believe, that the lizard people are taking over the world or whatever. But Icke's one of those, he's the one guy that I sort of sometimes wonder, is he in on the joke? Like, I think most of the Disclosure people are either true believers or they're out for making money. Some of the things that Icke says, many of them are problematic, and some of them are very disturbing, actually. Again, talking about some of those anti-Semitic undercurrents that take place within ufology. But part of me wonders, is David Icke sort of doing some sort of Jonathan Swift kind of critique of everything? He's making it as part of this fantasy parable that he's constructed. And I don't think most of the people who go to his lectures think that way. So I think they probably take him at face value. And that's probably why Icke is not doing what I think he's, might be doing, what a smarter person could do, what a more interesting person could do. But I have to say, when I've listened to Icke speak, he's charismatic, as many of these people are. He's a captivating speaker. He's interesting. And I can see how they sort of get taken along with it. And when I listen to it, I go, you know what? If I pull this out and this out and this out and this out, not all of it, but some of what he's saying, I could reconstruct that in a film or a lecture or whatever.
Yeah, make a great screenplay.
In a sort of social critique of our modern day society that would not be dissimilar to some of the things that the Situationists were coming out with in the 1960s, critiquing the society of the spectacle and stuff. At the end of the day, I kind of came to the conclusion that that's not what Icke's doing, but it sounds like what he's doing, if you understand what I'm saying. There is a place for that kind of stuff. And frankly, I think in our modern society, we can't tell the difference anymore. Yeah. People can't, and this gets back to Gene's original question, I think so many people just can't tell the difference between what's real and what's not anymore. And that gets back to the fake news, where more people seem to be getting their information from fake news than they are from real news. And then you sort of say, well, what's the real news anymore? Because Fox has an agenda, MSNBC has an agenda. It's hard to find a media outlet on television that doesn't have some sort of agenda, usually to drum up ratings. Newspapers, which are dying, are the last real refuge of true journalism. And that's probably why they're dying, because people don't want real journalism. They want entertainment.
Well, that's the whole point that I saw happening when I first started in broadcast journalism. TV stations, radio stations in the U.S. had to prove they were operating as a public service in order to get your license renewed. You had to have a public file, allow the public to look at it, and demonstrate to the FCC that you had content in the public interest, not just the DJ chatter or talk shows. You had to have something in the public interest to justify your license. Then they decided that cable companies had to originate their own content. And then it was public access. Anyone could get on there if there was room on the cable TV network. I know I hosted a TV interview show when I worked for a radio station that owned the cable TV system in a particular town just outside of Philadelphia. And then later on, they demonstrated that just like regular TV networks, cable networks could make money, run ads, or sell content at a premium rate, monthly charge, like HBO and Showtime, and make money. And then with Rune Arledge back in the 70s and 80s, ABC News essentially merged with the entertainment and sports divisions. So it was demonstrated right there that news could be a form of entertainment, could be a profit maker. And then you had this problem all over the place, local TV stations with happy talk news and everything. It was all about marketing. It was all about entertainment. And without getting back to politics, because people hate when we talk politics, the head of CBS News said that one specific politician in the last election got a lot of coverage, not because he was newsworthy or they believed in what he was saying, but because it was good for ratings.
Right. I think it's important not to lose sight of the, what was it called, equal time, I think, was a stipulation that the broadcast media had to provide equal time for dissenting views. And during the early years of the Reagan, you know, the first Reagan administration, the first 4 years, that was repealed by Congress. And so that's when you had the demagogues, both on the right and the left, started to appear, the Limbaughs and others. And they didn't have to provide a sort of equal time to dissenting views, and especially in the national news. It became very insidious. And I think the way that they were very, very smart and cagey about how they've gone ahead and slanted their particular editorial position on issues. I think for the average person, they don't really recognize it, and they're slowly kind of inured into the propaganda that they're being fed. And unfortunately, you know, most people aren't like Paul. They're not like me. They're not like Eugene. They don't actually, number one, have the time or the inclination or even the know-how or the motivation to really find out.
More with Paul, Gene, and Chris. You're in
Le Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots, and like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusades, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.